Let's open up to the Gospel of Mark, and I appreciate the Lord this morning. I thank God for the Lord being as kind to us as He has been. Mark chapter number 8, Mark chapter number 8, and you find that place, you're welcome to stand with us. And I preached on this a little bit the last time I preached on a Sunday morning, and God's still been dealing my heart about it. So I'm going to try just to mind the Lord. You pray for us that the Lord help us. And the Bible says in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 8, verse number 22, says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And said, and he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. He looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes. And he made him look up, and he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, and he's saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town." Heavenly Father, we come before you again this morning. And Lord, I thank you for the good singing. I thank you for the good presence of the Lord. And God, I thank you, God, that Lord, you're always doing more than what we know. I'm glad that, Father, that when we come to the house of God, we just sort of, Lord, just expected, God, the sweet presence of God that would draw men and women to yourself. And Lord, I'm persuaded that, God, that no matter what it looks like on the outside, I'm glad that sweet Holy Ghost that reaches down to the innermost parts of man. And Father, I pray, God, you'd help us today. And Lord, I sincerely desire that to Father, that with everything in me, you'd help me to preach this morning. And to God, give us unction and anointing. And to help us, God, just to see it, have the real clear message the way that you put it in our heart. And Father, we sure enough love you, Lord. We thank you. And we ask you, God, that you'd help us now. Help put a guard in my mouth. Help me not to say nothing dumb nor foolish nor out of the way. But only the things that God would bring honor and glory to you. And the Lord will do the best we can to try to honor you. And Father, we sure love you. We thank you. Ask you all these favors in the lovely name of Christ. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I've been thinking about this. Of course, we looked at there some time ago about some folks that God would help that probably you and I would not help. And certainly we thank God that God helped us when we was not looking for help, wasn't worthy of help. I didn't even know to be thankful for help. But I'm sure glad that God chose and His goodness just to be helpful to us anyway. Amen. And I want to go on record as saying this. If there was ever a day that I wanted more of the help of God, I want more of the help of God in this day than I ever have. Not just in our church. I need it in our home. Need it in preaching. I mean, listen, friend, if there was ever a time and I wanted God's presence in and around us, I sure would like to have it now. Wouldn't you like to have that? I mean, listen, friend, thank God I know this. Without the presence of the Lord, there can't be nothing done, nothing good accomplished. And so we've got to have the Lord, amen. And we don't have to have a big crowd. And we don't have to have a lot of folks. And you don't have to have me. And thank God, but I'll say this. And we've got to have the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I'm interested in the help of the Lord and you're interested in the help of the Lord, let me go on record and say this. And part of the reason we need the help of the Lord as much as we do, and you hear me say it often, is, friend, there's not nobody going to get saved unless the presence of the Lord is there to save them. Amen. I mean, it can't happen, thank God. And you can repeat words, you can do a lot of things, but it takes the Holy Ghost of God to birth you into the family of God. And so we need the presence of God. I thought about, no doubt, I don't know what your problems is, so to speak, this morning. You don't know my
side. But I do know this, if the Lord shows up and the Lord gets to helping us, then my friend, what a place it is to be. But I want to preach on this subject. And when we come here, we find this blind man, and this blind man's in this place called Bethsaida. And you find something real interesting in verse 23. I want you to watch what happens here. These folks that brought the blind man to the Lord, he's in the town of Bethsaida. And really, verse 23, that's one of the sad testimonies in your Bible about what happens. Watch it real carefully, and I'll try to preach the message. He said this. He said he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of the town. I want you to listen, friend. And now skip down with me, verse 26. He said, and he sent him away to his house, and this is what he said. He said, neither go into the town nor tell it to any that's in the town. Hey, you find something real peculiar here. Hey, you find something that, thank God, the people of God ought to perk up and pay attention to what happens right here. I want you to listen to me. I want you to hear me well. In Bethsaida, it's a place that God had been doing some marvelous works. And if the Lord had helped us, we'll look at that. But I want you to listen. There came a time that God no longer did any works in Bethsaida. It got so bad in Bethsaida. I see that this is what the Lord done. When they brought a blind man to him, Stephen, instead of touching him there, he takes him by the hand and he leads him outside of that city. He said, I'm not going to do nothing else. I have to help them folks back there. I've already done everything I'm going to do and to try to help them. And this is what he says. He touches that man. At first, number one, he doesn't want any works to be done there. And number two, he tells him this. He said, when you go to that town, he said, you don't tell it to nobody there either. You don't even go around them folk. In other words, this was said. I want you to think about what a sad state that it is, that it gets to the place that God doesn't want them to see a miracle. That God doesn't want them to hear about a miracle. That God is done with them. Oh, listen, I'm saying this, friend. What a sad day. And whenever God gets done with a place, if the Lord help us for a few minutes of time, the best I can tell in looking through the scripture is that there's three groups of people, three places, if you'll have that, that God will not help. I want you to listen to me, friend. I mean, this is serious time. I want you to dial in. I want you to pay attention. Hey, thank God, I want you to listen real carefully to the Word of God. I want Amazing Grace to be a place that God helps. Don't you want that? Amen. I'm not much interested in coming to the house of God. And God, look here, be a sad time. It'd be a sad time, Alicia. It'd be a sad time, Justin, if you needed help. And the Lord said, well, I'll help you. But first, you're going to have to come with me. I'm going to have to get you out of this place. I've done too much for thee. And thank God, I'm not going to help you there. Amen. And you say, well, what is it? And look with me, if you will, in your Bible. Let's get back to Matthew chapter number 11. And Matthew 11, I might read a little more today than I normally do. And you pray that God make it real plain for us, all right? And the Bible says this. In Matthew chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 20, he said these words. And then began he to upbraid the cities. Matthew 11, verse 20, to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. He said, because they repented not. And verse 21, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Amen. I want you to listen to me very carefully. You know why God stopped helping those folks? It's because they did not repent at the goodness of God. Amen. And now mark this down straight and tall. I mean, if God's been as good to us as we act like he has been, hadn't God been good to you? Amen. I mean, unless I'm no man, honestly, hadn't God been good to you? Amen. And well, I'll tell you this, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And if God's been good to you, There ought to be an awful lot of repentance in your life. Amen. And so what we find here, as the Bible said, if the mighty works had been done in you, which was done in them, that they would have repented. Here comes the question, have man alive? How we sit in these places sometimes and just fold up our arms. We say, boy, had God sure been good to us? Heck, listen, I enjoy that. I'm glad God's been good to you. But has that goodness of God ever motivated you or moved you to that point where you said, God in heaven, I'm sorry for what I've done. I want to give a biblical definition. I think sometimes we use terms, Chase, and we don't even know what they mean. And we talk about repentance. Hey, you know what the best definition of repentance is? Hey, you'll find it in your Bible in 1 Thessalonians at chapter number 1. And it said, we turn from idols and to serving the living God. That's what repentance looks like. That's not, I've heard folks say, that's a change of mind. It's a change of heart. That's a change of direction. That's not where it's at, neighbor. It's in turning from the world and turning to God. Amen. I know you can talk about it all you want to. I'm not interested too much. I said the other day, not interested too much. And folks just saying they're sorry. We're just about all the time sorry. That's not repentance. Amen. But I'm going to listen. I want you to hear me. What if today the goodness of God ceased from your life? Hey, you say, preacher, I don't want the goodness of God to stop. Have you repented at what He's done? I mean, have you found yourself down and looking back over your life and saying, man, God, as good as you've been, I just want to repent. I need to turn from the world. I want to give you everything I've got and go back to serving you with all my heart, soul, and mind, and strength. I'll say this to you, friend. These folks right here were in danger of no longer being helped by God. What a sad day. What a sad time. Come in the house of God, go through life, and to find out that, man, God's not interested in helping you no more. I don't want, is everybody all right this morning? Amen. I'm talking about this, thank God. Be a sad day for God to walk through our church. Would y'all agree God's helped us a lot? Amen. Be a sad day for God to walk through the church and say, you know, I wanted to do more there, but I couldn't do no more because the folks have stopped repenting. Amen. They still act rejoicing. They still like the shouting, but they wasn't much interested in repenting. Amen. But I'll tell you this, if there's no repentance, you mark it down, it's a short amount of time, there'll be no more rejoicing either. Amen. The only reason you can rejoice is because you're willing to repent. Amen. Unless you say, well, what did they see done? I'll tell you this, listen to me, friend. In Mark chapter number 6, you find at least 3 recorded miracles that God does in Bethsaida. And the first thing He does is the feeding of the 5,000. I ought to call somebody to say, man, He's God. Amen. And let's leave Judaism. And let's leave the world. Let's leave the weak and beggarly elements. And let's go after Him. Amen. But we find they didn't do that. How on down there you find that they're out on a ship. And here comes the Lord walking on the sea. And He said, be of good cheer. It's I, be not afraid. Hey, you know what should have happened? And when the storms calmed, everybody should have said, that's Him. That's Him. Amen. But oh, they didn't do it then either. Hey, you go on down there and find, hey, brought all their sick folk to Him and He healed them all. And thank God at the end of it, you know what they should have said? They should have said, that's Him. But instead, with their bellies full, had their fears calmed, had their sick healed, they said, let's just go about our day to day and let's forget about Him until we need Him again. Amen. And they didn't even know how bad off shape they was. They said, let's bring this blind man to Him. He's healed blind men for us before. He'll heal this blind man again. And you know what He said? Okay, I'll help that one, but I'm not helping him here.
Yeah.
I want the soberness of this message to sink in your heart.
That's right.
That He was willing to help him, but He wasn't willing to help him there. Brother Josh made mention of it this morning. If you think what you do doesn't affect everybody around you, we get in a place where we've got 2/3 of the majority of people in this church not much interested in repentance. We're very dangerously close to having a church that God's no longer interested in helping.
Right.
Amen. Say amen, preacher, that's right. First thing we find is, boy, if you get to that place, I mean, I'm talking about the goodness of God moves us to repentance. If it don't, let's just stop right here. Man, listen, I'm feeling a lot of resistance. I'm going to, y'all know how I am. It don't make any difference. I'm going to preach what God gave me. But I'm going to ask you this. If God's been good to you this week, how many times have you got down on your face and said, God, I'm giving you everything I got. I'm talking about repenting and turning from where you're at and turning to the living true God. We find the first thing, friend, is a place that's unrepentant. I want you to watch this. Turn with me, if you will, in Mark chapter number 6. We're going to look at this just two chapters back. I'm talking about folks that God will not help. It gets to a place, friend, where God's done what he's going to do. What he's going to do, he's been good to them. He's done all that sort of thing. Mark chapter number 6, the Bible says this. In the beginning, verse number 1, he said he went out from the and he came to his own country, and his disciples follow him. This is the place of Nazareth. And when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many hearing him were astonished. They said, from whence hath this man these things? What wisdom is this which is given unto him? And even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Jesus said, prophets not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. Verse number 5, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hand upon a few sick folk, and he healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And so we find, first of all, that a place that's unrepenting is a place that he's not interested in helping. Secondly, we find here a place that's unbelieving. Amen. That's not a place that God has interested in. Can you imagine looking at God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, and after he had done so many marvelous things, I said, you know what? I don't think God could help me where I'm at. Who are you kidding? Amen. What an insult unto the Lord God Almighty. And to say that God couldn't help you where you're at. I was talking to Brother Josh the other day about this. One of those passage scriptures that just struck me peculiar the other day. It's whenever Moses and them's out in the wilderness, and Moses said, if all of the fish in the sea, they would not suffice to feed the people. But you know what? He didn't have no idea how big the ocean really was. We've been eating fish from the sea for the last 4,000 years, and we ain't even got close to the bottom of the barrel. Amen. Oh, listen. And I started feeling bad toward Moses. I thought, man, Moses, I can't believe you didn't think that God would help you. I can't believe you thought that God couldn't bring it out of the sea. And the Lord said, oh, yeah, that's because you know how big the water is. Have you listened to me, friend? What about this today? Can you imagine us standing where we're standing like Moses, saying, I'm not sure how in the world you're going to help me. Have you ever seen the vast supply of the grace of God? If we could stand where we're standing on the other side of glory and see what vast supplies he has in his storehouse, there's no doubt we'd believe him for what he said he could do. When we come to church and we don't receive much because we don't believe him for much. This is what he said. He said he could do no mighty work there. He still healed a few sick folk. And I'm sure they shouted out and they said, man. Hey, he said, did you see today? We seen a few sick folk healed. Brother Donnie, they probably went to the local Mexican restaurant. And they said, did y'all hear what kind of service we had today? Said, we had a few sick folk healed. And the other patrons of the restaurant would have said, wow. Been a long time since we've seen a few sick folk healed. And they went about their day. No doubt David, the next day, they said, man, what a service. We've seen a few sick folk healed. Let's shout her out. Can't wait to get back to the next service. John, you know what we'll probably see next service? A few more sick folk get healed. And they were shouting it out about a few sick folk. But what the Lord wanted for them was more than just seeing a few sick folk healed. And they walked down the road, no doubt, shouting her out because the few sick folk that got healed. And the whole time in the mind of Christ, he's saying, I couldn't do anything real mighty down there. I couldn't do anything real big down there because nobody believed I could do it. Now listen, friend, this is what happened. If you go back and read the story, what you find is, first of all, they said, how does this man have wisdom? They thought they knew more than he knew. Amen. I thought, oh God, help me. How many times we walk in this place and we're in the midst of a struggle, a tribulation, or a trial, and we'll say, God, this is what we need. And God, that's what we need. Look at me, friend. I don't even know enough to get in out of the rain. Amen. I'm so helpless, thank God. And if God in heaven don't take care of me, I'll not be taken care of. But I'm sure glad that I've stranded myself on the goodness of God. And if you follow me around, you'd say, I'm not sure how you even get from point A to point B. And well, I'll tell you this, I don't know either, but one thing's sure, I've made it out of hell and I'm destined for heaven. That's the only thing that matters. And friend, because of the goodness of God, amen. We've got folks in the house of God don't believe God can help them do little things. Did he save you or not? Amen. I mean, saved you out of a place you've never been, from a fire you've never felt, from sins you've never visibly seen with your eye. And he got there by a cross on Calvary over on Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. You've never been to, never seen Christ, never done none of those things. But by faith you've trusted in it. And by that faith, that single act of belief in Christ, that got you out of one, placed you in the body of Christ, taking you on to heaven. And you don't think God can take care of you, but from point A to point B, come on, folks. We're in this place, and he said, I'd like to have done more. I think we'll all be ashamed if we get to heaven, find out how much God really wanted to do for us. We say, God, I never thought you'd do that. I'll tell you the second thing they thought. They said, how can this fellow do these things? He said, all he is a carpenter. They thought they knew what he knew, and they thought they understood what he could do. They said, I'll tell you what he can do. He can build a few houses.
Right.
And he can build a little bit of furniture. He can do some of them things. Said, but he can't do much else outside of that. And I know we all look back, Miss Jones, and we say, man, I can't believe they thought that. But we come and we sit as the people of God, and we'll say, man, God, boy, you can sure, I mean, if somebody's sad, you can cheer them up. Mm-hmm. Somebody's down, you can lift them up. But God, I'm not sure really if you can really save those people, if you can really help our marriage.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can do that. Well, I can tell you this, you keep on not believing God, and it won't be too long before God won't do anything there. I'd rather check. You know why most folks don't want to trust God? They're afraid they're going to be let down.
Yeah.
Look up here at me. Yeah. I'm preaching right here. They say, man, if I go out and go all in with God, what if he don't come through? What if he don't do it for me? Are y'all kidding me? The Lord Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what, I'll give you 10 minutes, I'll step back, you stand up and testify when the Lord's knock came through. Not always the way we thought he should. He's a place that, listen, I'm saying this, God won't help a place that's unbelieving. If what this church is depending on how much you're believing God, what kind of church is it? If it's based on how much you're repenting, kind of place we got. All right, listen, I'm going to give you the last one. Don't nobody throw things at me. I'm just preaching my heart. All I am is a mail carrier. Nobody gets mad at the mail carrier, do they? I mean, you can get mad at the bill, but I'm just sticking it in your mailbox. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, I don't even have to read it. I don't even have to read it. Revelation chapter 2, he said, I have somewhat against thee. He said, you've left your first love. He said, remember, repent, and return. He said, or else I come quickly and remove the candlestick out of its place.
This is only the third place that I can find that the Lord tells them he won't help them. Dad, you know why he won't help them? Because they're unloving. Now, God will help just about anybody. But if the goodness of God, Holly's been so much around your life, Jimmy, and you refuse to repent. Miss Robbie, if we're in this place and we've refused to believe, I'm going to say this, unrepenting, unbelieving, or unloving. I don't know if you know this or not, but you know the love of God. It's a fire that has to be fed. And you're in one or two places if you're saved. You're either just letting that fire burn down, or you're doing everything you can to throw some more wood on it. Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians, he said, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Me and my wife been married 20 years. Listen, you know how you got, look here. That love never stops being hungry. It's got to be given attention to. You stop giving attention to the love of Christ and see what he does. I'm going to say this, and I want you to listen to me. Everybody hear me real carefully. I'll be done. We get to that place where we stop feeding the love of God. You'll find that it'll be a place real quickly that God will just... You get to a place, now watch this, where you stop practicing the love of God. Ephesians chapter 5 says, forbearing one another in love. You get to a place in our church where we're no longer being loving toward each other. And we'll offend God so much, we'll offend him right out of helping us. Y'all listen to me? You get to a place where you stop loving what he loves, caring about what he cares about. Now listen, don't miss this. Everybody stand to your feet. I'm done preaching. Stand to your feet, Alyssa, come to the piano. I want you to see the seriousness of the situation where they're standing at in this place. I'm done preaching. They get to that place where they fail to provide for it. They fail to practice it. But now listen to me, and I want you to hear me. There's things that come against the love that we have between us and the Lord. And if you fail to protect that love, there'll be something that'll snatch it away. And when it snatches the love of Christ away, and we get to that place where we no longer have the pure affections for God, we no longer believe Him, we're no longer repenting. We're in a place where God may still help people, but he'll have to get them out of this place to do it. Can you imagine how sad it'd have to be, Mike, for the Lord to come to your house and say, I'll help you, boy, but I'm not going to help him here. I'll have to get him out of this place first. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you're at. You have the message. I've delivered.